This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Tonight, several developing stories as we come on the air, the coronavirus and the haunting new images tonight. A refrigerated truck called in as a mortuary reaches capacity in California. Texas reporting its deadliest day, more than 10,000 people now hospitalized there. In Florida tonight, more than 11,000 new cases. And tonight, Dr. Deborah Birx now warning as infections skyrocket, deaths will follow. At the same time, the nation facing a testing crisis. Houston closing testing sites due to the heat. In Arizona, some waiting up to 10 days for their results if they're able to find a test. And President Trump tonight in hard-hit Florida, appearing at several events, no mask, after the First Lady and this image supporting masks. And our new poll here tonight, two-thirds of Americans disapprove of how the president has handled the pandemic. The growing concern involving children tonight, doctors reporting new cases of children and that dangerous reaction. Also in Texas, an infant dying with the virus. And tonight, the summer camp now closed after an outbreak there. 82 campers and staff testing positive. The storm slamming the Northeast tonight, Tropical Storm Faye, New Jersey, New York, up into New England. Winds gusting up to 50 miles per hour, several inches of rain. Rip currents claiming the life of a swimmer. And Rob Marciano standing by, timing this out as we head into the night and into tomorrow. Tonight, is there a major decision coming from President Trump involving his longtime confidant, Roger Stone, convicted of lying to Congress, facing a more than three-year prison sentence? The president just today suggesting he might step in, saying Stone has been treated unfairly. Pierre Thomas is live tonight. Also, new developments tonight involving Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's alleged co-conspirator. What she's arguing now and where she's being monitored around the clock. Her sheets reportedly taken away. She's been given paper clothes so she cannot harm herself. New images tonight of the popular actress and mother who disappeared before that boat ride with her four-year-old son. He was found alone on the boat. And what we now know tonight. And the phone call that finally came after his dedication every morning before the sun came up. Who is our person of the week?
This is ABC World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us as we near the end of another week together. And like so many Friday nights, this is a busy one. Several developing stories, and we're going to begin tonight with the coronavirus, surging on several fronts tonight. Cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. Dr. Deborah Birx today warning with the spike in cases we've been seeing, there will be more deaths to follow. And we have just learned tonight more than 66,000 new cases in just the last 24 hours here in the U.S. More than 3.1 million cases in America now, more than 133,000 American lives lost. And we have new and grim images from California tonight with morgues now full. Refrigerated trucks are now being used to store bodies, much like what we saw here in New York months ago. Texas setting a new record tonight, more than 10,000 COVID patients hospitalized, hospitals struggling with staffing tonight. Testing chaos in Arizona tonight, now one of the world's most active hotspots, families waiting hours in triple-digit heat to get tested, and as we've been reporting, results taking up to 3 weeks. President Trump traveling to Florida today as the state today reported more than 11,000 new cases. He was not wearing a mask, but First Lady Melania Trump sent out this image wearing one. Tonight here, the new ABC News poll showing where Americans stand on the president and his handling of the pandemic. And ABC's Matt Gutman leads us off again tonight.
Tonight, haunting new images. Another victim of the virus wheeled out of El Centro Hospital, the COVID capital of California. And outside the Fry Chapel mortuary, those white mausoleums for COVID victims. Refrigerator containers. The number of dead tripling here, too numerous to handle inside.
An average month used to be between 45 and 50, and now we're into the hundreds.
And when you say cases, you mean bodies?
Yes.
Sheila Kruger owns the mortuary. Her staff, like family to her, not immune from the virus.
We lost six of our staff to COVID.
You had six of your staff members out because of COVID?
Six of eight.
In your 33 years in the business, have you ever had to use refrigerator trucks before or containers?
No. No, we've never seen anything like this.
The daily death toll now rising in 17 states and 12 states setting new records for hospitalizations. President Trump has touted the nation's lower death rate, but late today, White House Coronavirus Task Force Coordinator Dr. Deborah Birx warning the surges in cases will lead to more deaths.
We have not seen this result in increased mortality, but that is expected as the disease continues to spread in some of our large metro areas.
The nation's top infectious disease doctor, Anthony Fauci, saying we are living in the perfect storm right now, urging states with severe outbreaks to shut down. And moments ago, Atlanta dialing back to phase one and Las Vegas closing bars starting tonight. But the governors of hard-hit Arizona, Texas, and Florida, ardent supporters of President Trump, taking little action. Doug Ducey, the governor of Arizona, announcing Thursday a reduction in indoor dining at restaurants, a measure already previously in place.
I feel as if my father was robbed of his life and that his illness was completely preventable.
Kristen Orkiza's father, Mark, died after a three-week battle with the virus. The obituary she wrote for him going viral.
I knew if I didn't say something, I couldn't trust that anybody else would.
Kristen writing her father, like so many others, should not have died from COVID-19. His death is due to the carelessness of politicians who continue to jeopardize the health of brown bodies through a clear lack of leadership and refusal to acknowledge the severity of the crisis. The president traveling to Florida today, a state with 11,000 new infections and 92 deaths in just the past 24 hours. But the event didn't focus on the virus, but on illegal drugs. And the president did not wear a mask, and neither did many of his senior advisors. And the visit comes as a new ABC News Ipsos poll out today shows Americans are not happy with his leadership on the virus, 67% disapproving of the president's handling of the pandemic. Texas setting records for deaths and hospitalizations with more than 10,000 COVID patients. The governor there saying they're running out of time. In hard-hit Harris County, which includes Houston, officials shutting down all testing sites due to the extreme heat.
So let's get right to Matt Gutman tonight. I know you're in an overflow tent there in El Centro, California. So reminiscent of what we saw in New York months ago, Matt. And I know the World Health Organization tonight, they've been under heavy pressure from hundreds of doctors and scientists around the world to expand their guidance about how the virus can spread in the air. And now they've done so.
Scientists still believe that the virus is primarily transmitted through close contact or by touching surfaces, but those WHO scientists now concede that they cannot rule out the virus can be transmitted in an aerosolized fashion, especially in crowded, poorly ventilated areas. They say their understanding of the virus continues to evolve and they need to do more research. David.
That's why the social distancing aspect of this is so important. Matt, thank you. And there are also growing concerns involving children and the virus tonight. In fact, doctors across the country now reporting new cases of children contracting the dangerous condition related to the virus. Also, an infant with the virus dying in Texas. And we're learning more tonight about that summer camp forced to close more than 80 campers and staff testing positive. Here's ABC's Marcus Moore.
In Texas tonight, word of an alarming surge in cases at child care centers. Nearly 1,800 staff and children testing positive at more than 1,000 locations across the state, a staggering 759% increase since last month. Doctors are also seeing cases where children have a dangerous reaction to the virus. Vanessa Martinez says that happened to her bundle of joy. These images showing the smiling little girl one day thrown into a fight to survive the next. Okay. Six-month-old Valentina was released from the hospital just this afternoon. But there was tragedy in another part of the state. An infant from Corpus Christi caught the virus and later passed away. In Florida, the governor says 21-year-olds account for the highest number of COVID-19 cases, but the youngest deaths in the state believed to be two 11-year-olds, including Daquan Wimberly. Parents across the country grappling with the virus and the threat it poses to their children. This well-known Christian camp in Missouri now closed after an outbreak there amongst campers and staff. The local health department announcing 49 cases on Friday. By Monday, it soared to 82.
David, the health department there says that many of the campers and staff who were infected didn't find out until after they had returned home. And we're talking about people from 10 different states and multiple counties across Missouri. David.
Yeah, tough sign as we prepare to open schools in this country. Marcus, thank you. And the other news this Friday night, we're tracking Tropical Storm Fay hitting the Northeast at this hour. The storm pounding the Jersey Shore today Wind gusts topping 50 miles per hour. Flood watches from Delaware all the way up through Massachusetts tonight. The system pushing its way into upstate New York and New England this evening. Rip currents claiming the life of a swimmer. We have the track as we head into this evening and into tomorrow morning. Here's ABC's Adrian Banker from Long Beach, New York tonight.
Tonight, Tropical Storm Faye strikes the Northeast, making landfall near Atlantic City, wind and rain flooding the Jersey Shore. Waterfalls in New York City subway stations.
Look at the fire hose of rainfall going into New York City, Western Long Island, Northern New Jersey, and the Hudson Valley.
Across the region, wind gusts near 60 miles an hour.
Take a look at the surf that we're seeing here in North Wildwood. Definitely not the surf that you want to go out in.
And nearly 7 inches of rain in some spots.
If you see any type of pooling or ponding, don't drive through it, right? When in doubt, turn around. Don't drown.
In Westchester County, New York, fallen trees ripping down power lines. And in Essex County, New Jersey, part of a tree fell on a woman. She's expected to be okay. Ahead of the storm on Thursday, a group of swimmers were caught in the surf off New York's Long Island. An 18-year-old Queens man did not survive. Five others were treated and released.
So let's get right to Adrian Banker tonight. We can see the wind there, Adrian, Long Beach, New York, and those rip current warnings, I gather, still in effect tonight.
Yes, that's right, David. The surf here is still dangerously high. Rip current warnings are in effect here and at a lot of beaches across the Northeast through tomorrow night. David?
All right, Adrian, great to have you on a Friday night. Let's get right to senior meteorologist Rob Marciano timing this out for us as we head into the evening. Hey, Rob.
Hi, David. Pretty unusual to get a tropical system make a run right at New York City. Last one was Irene in 2011, but that was much later in the season. This one has a lot of rain with it. Let's show it to you on the radar scope, mostly north of the center, so flood watches remain up all the way up into Albany. Winds with this as well as it spirals up the Hudson River. As it does so, it will fall apart as far as the strength of this goes, but it will have some rain, especially north of the center, and a lot of leftover moisture as another front makes its way towards the area tomorrow. So that will trigger more in the way of thunderstorms, some of which will be severe across the Northeast tomorrow afternoon. David?
Well, we saw the wind with Adrian, the rain there with you, Rob. Thanks to you both tonight. All eyes on President Trump into the evening and the weekend after he hinted today that he could make a move involving Roger Stone, his longtime confidant, convicted of lying to Congress, facing 3 years in prison. The president suggesting today he might step in, saying Stone has been treated unfairly. Here's our Chief Justice correspondent, Pierre Thomas, tonight.
Today, President Trump hinting his longtime friend Roger Stone may not serve a day of his more than 3-year prison sentence.
Well, I'll be looking at it. I think Roger Stone was very unfairly treated.
The self-proclaimed dirty trickster, defiant from the day he was arrested, waving the victory sign of his political hero, Richard Nixon. But that smile disappearing after Stone was convicted on 7 felony counts, including lying to Congress and witness tampering. Prosecutors proved he obstructed a congressional probe into possible connections between Russia, WikiLeaks, and the 2016 Trump campaign. President has been fuming for months.
This has not been a fair process.
Prosecutors recommended that Stone be sentenced to 7 to 9 years in prison. But after the president cried foul, Attorney General William Barr overruling his own team, saying the sentencing recommendation was too harsh.
Did you talk to the president at all about your decision regarding the recommendations?
Never.
Stone was ultimately sentenced to 3 years and 4 months behind bars.
I felt it was an appropriate prosecution, and I thought the sentence was fair.
I think you said you're no fan.
Did I say that?
Yes, you did.
Well, that's accurate.
But Roger Stone has a fan in President Trump. This week, the president was told his old friend was praying for a pardon. Trump's response, his prayer may be answered.
David, it truly was an extraordinary prosecution. 4 prosecutors resigned from the Stone case after Barr overturned their recommendation for a lengthy prison term. One prosecutor telling Congress he felt pressure from President Trump. David?
Pierre Thomas, who's been following this every step of the way for us. Thank you, Pierre. And now to another case tonight, new developments involving Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's alleged co-conspirator. She's now requesting to be released on bail, as we now learn. She's now being monitored closely, her sheets reportedly taken away, and she's been given paper clothing to wear to prevent any possibility of her harming herself. Here's Eva Pilgrim tonight.
The defense team for Ghislaine Maxwell tonight arguing the former girlfriend of accused sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein should be released from jail. Prosecutors call Maxwell an extreme flight risk, but her attorneys argue she never left the country after Epstein's arrest, instead staying out of the public eye, given the crush of media attention, as alleged victims of Epstein also called for her arrest.
We need to get to the bottom of everybody who was involved with that, starting with Ghislaine Maxwell.
Maxwell, now housed at a prison across the river from the facility where Epstein took his own life.
After what happened with Jeffrey Epstein, they're going to be keeping an eye on her.
Maxwell is under constant monitoring, wearing only paper clothes and no sheets on the bed. Her lawyers proposing she be released on $5 million bond with GPS monitoring, writing, Ghislaine Maxwell is not Jeffrey Epstein. The British socialite vigorously denies charges she helped Epstein recruit, groom, and abuse three teenage girls in the mid-90s and will fight any allegations against her. But some of Epstein's alleged victims want her behind bars.
The victims are very adamant that she not get bail. This arrest is a major step to validating that the victims and survivors of these crimes have a voice.
Maxwell's attorneys say due to COVID, if she stays here behind bars, her health would be at serious risk and it would keep her from participating in her defense. The hearing on her bond is expected Tuesday. David?
All right, that's coming Tuesday. Eva, thank you. And we do have new reporting later tonight on this, a two-hour 2020 on the Jeffrey Epstein case and his accusers, 9 p.m. Eastern, with all the latest developments. Again, 9 p.m. right here. There's also news tonight about the killing of an Army soldier at Fort Hood, Texas. Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy ordering an independent investigation now of the command climate at the base following the death of Vanessa Guillen. Authorities say she was killed by another soldier who then took his life. Guillen's family claims she was sexually harassed at the base but did not report it, fearing retaliation. When we come back on this busy Friday night, the new images this evening of the popular actress and mother who disappeared, her four-year-old found alone on that boat, and what we now know.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
We have learned of a tragic crash on an Indiana interstate. Four children from 6 to 15 years old were killed when a semi slammed into their vehicle in Wayne County, pushing them into a second truck, igniting a fire. The driver of their car survived. He was airlifted for treatment. Police arrested Corey Withrow, the driver of the semi. They say he was under the influence. He faces several charges, including reckless homicide. We also have news of a frightening bear attack inside a home near Aspen, Colorado. Authorities responding to a 911 call. They say the bear got into the home on its own, the bear pawing the man's face, several cuts to his head and his neck. He's in stable condition tonight. They found the bear. It's been euthanized. Finally tonight here, our person of the week. The young man and the call that finally came, but it did not come without the work. Rahan Staten from Bowie, Maryland, was determined to never give up. Growing up, his single father cared for him, and Rahan vowed to pay it forward no matter what.
Hey, David.
Tonight, Rahan, right here.
Time got really tough. I mean, food insecurities, housing insecurities. We didn't even have heat in the winter.
He said after his mother left the family and his father lost his job, he struggled. His grades suffered.
My GPA was like a low 2.0, and I got denied by every single college I applied to. So I just opted to go work for the local trash company.
But that job as a garbage man, 4 a.m. every morning, changed Rahan's life.
That's where my life changed forever. It's like the first time in my life where everyone around me just really picked me up and embraced me.
His coworkers encouraged him to fight for his dreams.
They saw something in me. They uplifted me.
Rahan went back to school, got his grades up a 4.0. He was accepted at the University of Maryland, working two shifts as a garbage man to pay for it.
I'd wake up at 4 o'clock, go to work, clean my dumpsters, get off, go to school. Then after school, I'd go back to finish the shift. And that was pretty much my day.
He then reached for his next dream, Harvard Law School.
All right, let's go.
All right.
And this was the moment Rahan would find out if he got in.
All right, I'm clicking it.
Congratulations!
He is now headed to Harvard Law this fall.
I got into Harvard. And really, it was probably just the greatest moment of my life, specifically because I finally felt that I could pay back my dad and my brother for all their sacrifices.
Tonight, Rahan's message on pushing forward, pushing through, no matter what.
Just love yourself enough to always give yourself what you want. Life's not always going to be fair, but it's not going to be fair. I can promise you it won't be fair, but if you put in the work, you stay disciplined, you stay hungry, everything will fall into place.
And so we choose Rahan. His message is so powerful and really so true. Don't give up. I'll see you on Monday. Good night.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.